Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin. The National Association of Private Educational Institutions has raised concerns over the domino effect that postponed SPM exams could have on private higher education institutions. Now, with January intakes affected, will this move deal a fatal blow to many private institutions that employ tens of thousands of people? What could have been done to mitigate the negative consequences of this policy, or could they have been avoided altogether? Joining us on the show tonight, we have Najmi Noordin, Chief Operating Officer of Cosmopoint Sindrian Berhad. Najmi, as someone who manages a private university, now do you see the consequences to the decision to postpone SPM and STPM exams?
Good evening, Lisa. Definitely there will be huge consequences because of the delay in the SPM examination, and more importantly, the delay in the result. If the examination was to be conducted in February, we estimate that the results will only come in latest in May, most likely in June. And that has a huge impact, which means that we can't recruit or students can't continue their higher education for about 6 months, from January all the way until June. That brings a huge impact on our financial situation as well.
Najmi, there are, of course, people who will argue that this is, yes, it's an uncomfortable situation for private universities and perhaps also public universities, but it was a necessary decision to make, that we could not have had SPM exams held in conditions that were safe. Do you agree?
Let me preface my answer by saying I'm not a public health policy expert, so I do not know whether the decision made by the Ministry of Education is from recommendation by the Ministry of Health. But I can say this. There has been documented research on the effects of missing classes or switching classes from offline or face-to-face to online, and the consequence of school closures, postponement of examinations, that's impact on students' progression, their teaching and learning experience, their social progression as well, and of course the economic effect of it, which the primary topic that we are talking about today. Knowing all this, the school closure, basically the last bullet that you have in facing the pandemic situation, the bigger question that people need to ask is, what if there are consequences beyond the third wave, right? If you're talking about the fourth wave or fifth wave, we have to come up with a different solution for education in the event of this pandemic not going away 100% in the next 6 to 12 months. We can't keep on postponing examinations over and over again.
Do you think that there's a high likelihood that exams could be postponed? I mean, we're talking about January here, which is not too far away. January, February, yes.
Yeah, precisely. So if we move from January to the end of February, I don't know. I can't say for sure whether we've hitting the curve for this. But the point being that, like I mentioned, school postponement of examination is one step behind the most worst situation, which is totally zero education, cancellation of examination.
Right.
So knowing that we don't have the options left, I'm worried that the policymakers are not really thinking creatively.
Najmi, did the Ministry of Education anticipate that this could have been a repercussion of postponing exams? Did they consult you or your counterparts in the private education sector before making this decision?
To be fair, I think 3 months ago we had a discussion with the Ministry of Higher Education. They were asking us for what we need to deal with COVID-19 situation. But at that time, the projection was that the economy would continue to grow again. There will be a gradual reopening of all sectors, and there won't be a third or fourth wave. There was never a discussion that there will be a lockdown or a mean down like what we have right now, and definitely discussion on postponement of STM examination.
Najmi, of course, you know, we know there's a lot of talk about the vaccine coming, that there was a breakthrough with Pfizer and stuff, but we also know that at least in the first year or so, the vaccine would only go to the most vulnerable, and that would not be the cohort of young people who go to school, who go to university, right? So that issue of creativity, a creative response to this, you know, going online or allowing schools to project or forecast possible results based on other criteria, allowing universities to recruit based on forecasted results. Are these options, I mean, is there something that you can offer the government? If they lack creativity, could you come up with solutions for them?
I think the associations, the various private higher education institutions have provided some options to the Ministry of Higher Education, and I think the discussions are on the way to allow relaxation of entry requirements, to allow forecast to be accepted. So, again, the issue of accepting students into higher education is a policy decision. So it's really up to the government to decide whether to relax the entry requirements or not. So they could be creative about that. Postponing SEM, so we deal with examination, that's really something that the Education Ministry, together with the Ministry of Health, should come up with some solutions, especially for green areas. You know, there's actually someone can so many areas or districts are green, and it's a bit unfair for them to be placed in the same situation as those in the yellow zone.
Right. I want to talk a little bit about something you mentioned. You touched on a bit earlier about the economic difficulties that the private higher education institutions are facing. We started the year with, I think, about 447 privately owned institutions of higher education. Is that still the case? Has the landscape shrunk? Are universities, private universities, having to close down to deal with this?
Well, I personally don't have data. We have to check back with the Ministry of Higher Education. But anecdotal, we know for a fact that the three institutions that closed down, we won't name names, but they affect about 1,000-plus students and a few hundred staff. So those are private institutions that couldn't manage cash flow anymore. And from what I hear, that they are more in same situation, but because they're backed by institutional investors or state government, then they can continue their operation.
Okay. Najmi, you know, so much over the years has been staked, at least the growth of this particular sector has been staked on foreign education, foreign students being recruited to our education system. Is there any thinking about how to deal with that particular problem?
Currently, the existing foreign students are registered, means previous cohort, can come back to Malaysia subject to certain requirements, like 14-day quarantine, passing a COVID test in their home country, getting approval from High Commission. But new students, at the moment, they are still not allowed to come into Malaysia, regardless of where they are from, even if they are from a country with zero COVID cases. So these are some of the measures that I think the private higher education institutions are asking for the government to reconsider, especially for new students.
Right. Well, okay. Well, thank you, Najmi, for joining us on the show tonight and helping us understand a little bit about the predicament of this industry. Thank you for your time. We're going to take a quick break, and after this, we'll continue our conversation. So stay tuned to Consider This.